And that first chief medical officer said what I needed was a medical person who would be my link with the medical staff. And he suggested a fairly new recruit to the department who proved to be an absolutely staunch ally from then till my retirement.
Yes.
That person became the second deputy chief medical officer. And the chief medical officer, I must say, treated me extremely well. As time wore on, he said, I shall regard you as the equivalent of one of my principal chief medical officers, and you will be invited to my staff meeting, etc., etc. Now, the medical, he wanted, I think it would be safe to say that the whole of the medical staff, if they thought about it at all, wanted the social work element to be part of the chief medical officer's element in the department. I was determined from the start that this would not be wise. And I resisted it successfully to the end of my days, though sometimes it was quite touch and go. But I thought that once you'd got the social work service recognized as a part of the medical service, then wing clipping could very easily set in, and it would be misleading to agencies outside who needed to preserve the idea of an independent social work service. Well, I don't think I will tell you one or two very priceless episodes when it was nearly pulled off, but I defeated it.
Did you have to be tough?
No, I had to be cunning.
Yes.
Well, if you'll turn that off, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. But it again, after all.
Yes, sure. Yes.
It was periodically suggested by the medical department that there would be advantages in the social work element being a part of the responsibilities of the chief medical officer, but I never could subscribe to this view because I thought, quite apart from the importance of independence within the department, it would not be a helpful prototype for social workers working in other agencies or authorities. And this was successfully resisted throughout my tenure as chief welfare officer. Later, of course, the question could not arise.
Thank you. Can I ask you a bit more about the Young Husband Committee? The first thing is, when I spoke to Rabina Addis, on the first occasion I spoke to her, she told me that she held out on the committee for some kind of specialist training, and eventually there was a weekend that you all had together in which you sorted yourselves out. And nobody else has any memory of that controversy. Now, I've spoken to Tom Tinter and Dame Owen and the other two people I've spoken to, they don't remember her holding out or that there being this particularly being an issue, or that the weekend, the purpose of the weekend was that for the committee to sort themselves out over this. So I wondered whether whether you have any memories of it.
I can't honestly say I have. I mean, it doesn't follow that it didn't happen, because I don't remember it.
No.
But I don't remember it. I do remember the weekend, and I would have said that the weekend had a much broader objective, which was really to have an informal opportunity of discussing where they were going on the committee generally and what their main objectives would be, etc.
Yes.
I thought it was for that.
Yes.
Does Eileen remember it?
No, she doesn't. No.
But does she remember the weekend at all?
Oh, yes.
I mean, she would have gone along with what I've just said, wouldn't she?
Yes. When I see Ravine Radis later this time, when I spoke to her on the phone, she said she'd talk to me a bit more about it.
You see, this is what life does to one. I mean, you have a special interest.
Yes.
And you see it as the main purpose.
Right.
Yes. But I think it was a very much wider one.
Tom Tinto and Eileen Young has been sort of told me another very nice story. I don't know if you can remember it, about something else that happened on that weekend.
Was it at Ashridge this weekend?
They haven't told me where it
was. Oh, no.
But it was to do with an idea which I think grew out of a conversation between you and Tom Tinto, which led to the National Institute. Do you have any memory of that conversation?
No.
Well, he and Eileen Younghusband say that you were both just chatting together, and he was saying something to you about the Civil Defence Staff College that you had at Selsdon, the Ministry of Health had at Selsdon. And saying, and you both sort of just talking inconsequentially about this, but gradually out of that coming the idea that social work should have its own staff college, and that then being worked up in the report into the idea that there should be a National Institute for Social Work.
I don't recognise Selsdon at all as a place. I mean, where the staff college, the Civil Defence Staff College, was at a place in not far from Englefield Green. It's
perhaps, you have no memory of the idea of the Civil Defence Staff College leading to the idea that there should be a special...
Well, I think as I sort of sit and wonder about it, I have a feeling that we did connect in some way the usefulness of the Civil Defence setup to this other.
Yes.
But I can't say that I remember it in any detail.
Yes.
If Tom remembers it like that, I expect he's right. I don't know.
Well,
he might be.
The other thing that Robina Addis and Tom Tinto both mentioned was that there was some discussion about whether or not the coursework on the new course could be done by correspondence, and there was no need to for people to be seconded to full-time training. Do you remember that?
No, who's supposed to have thought of that one?
Well, it was the employers more who were concerned.
Well, I mean, it's the sort of thing that people do put up and that you should done.
Yes.
No, I don't remember having taken it very seriously, I must say.
I've got two more questions that I've put to everybody. But I think, would it be okay with you if I don't know how, when we look through this stuff, there might be things I'd like to ask. Could I come back at a later time and ask you? The first question is really about the criticisms that were made of social workers of the 1929-1959 period. The reason why I ended with 59 was because that's the year that Social Science and Social Pathology was written, Barbara Wootton's book. And Barbara Wootton, I suppose for my generation, epitomises all the criticisms that were made of those social workers at that time. And I just wonder what you would say about it all now, looking back, what your comeback would be.
Well, I've always been a supporter of having people who were trained.
Yes.
But I don't think I had for many years a very exaggerated idea of what kind of person would be produced by the said training.
Yes.
I had a built-in dislike, which I maintain to this day, of jargon. Mm-hmm. And for many years, I thought social workers in this country were led astray by a good deal of the American approach to social work. This had, of course, a very important influence, and much of the American thinking and the people who were pioneering was extremely sound.
Yes.
But there was a terrible overlay of what I regarded as soi-disant professionalism.
Yes.
And Freudian jargon, which I didn't care for.
Yes.
And I felt that this was something that one had to be aware of.
Yes.
Perhaps I should say in parenthesis that in the, I suppose it was, I can't remember, when did Clement Brown go to America to be trained? But at any rate, she was the first social worker to go on a PSW course. I was offered the second opportunity to train as a PSW in the States.
Is this before the Commonwealth Fund scheme? Or
no, she went under the Commonwealth.
No, she went before. No, she wasn't one of that group.
Well, the next year, they took somebody else.
Yes.
Honeybun went, actually.
Yes,
I was offered that particular vacancy.
Right.
Now, was Honeybun Commonwealth Fund?
Yes, she was, and she was a care committee worker too, wasn't she? She told the story of being standing on the underground station and her boss saying, "Would you like to go to America?"
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who said that?
I can't remember.
No. Well, anyhow, I didn't wish to go.
No, you were asked.
The reason that I didn't wish to specialise, and that I also had a real mistrust of half-digested psychological.
Yes.
Learning.
Yes.
When I was at Cambridge, it was in the period when Freud was terribly fashionable.
Yes.
And young people used to say to one another, "Let me psychoanalyze you," and so on.
Yes.
And I was one of these stuffy types in the wings who said, "I'll either study this properly or I'll have nothing to do with it."
Yes.
And I think this feeling persisted with me. But when later on the training for PSWs became more established, it was one of the trainings for which I developed a very real respect.
Yes. Yes.
But I didn't want to go at that early stage and specialize.
Yes.
And I so well remember, you better not preserve this, I'll say it, but don't preserve it. When Miss Honeybun came back and started having little classes for some of us, in what she learnt, and the id and the ego and the jargon all came out, you know, I really couldn't stand it.
Yes.
Now, Clement has always been devoid of this.
Yes.
And you know, you get both sorts.
Yes.
But
yes.
Honeybun was a terrible jargon merchant. Of course, she really hadn't the quality of it, Clement, anyway, so that explains that, I think. But to go back to where we came in, I thought I ought just to say this about my attitude. Well, I did attach great importance to training, and I used to say, I want trained staff, not because I think they'll be very remarkable or different, but I shall know what I can assume they know.
Yes.
And they'll go on learning from there on.
Yes.
And I still think that's a very good attitude to any training, actually.
Yes.
But in those days, of course, as I've said, the training was first the social science certificate, and as it got more sophisticated, so it began to mean more.
Yes.
And I don't belittle the social science certificate, because of course it was an first opportunity of people to concentrate on a particular element in the social service, a particular kind of contribution. For my early years, I always used to feel I wasn't quite nice to know, because I hadn't taken that certificate. I recovered from this as time wore on, but reflected that I should not describe myself as professionally trained, because unless you'd done some of these other courses, you weren't. Yeah. But then, owing to my generation, of course, this would have been irrelevant.
Yes.
And it's a funny thing. After all, Eileen never trained, did she? Did she say so? Yes. Well, you see, these old ones do what they do without the benefit of what subsequent people have, and they just have to do the best they can, don't they?
Yes, yes. And a very good best. I mean,
yes, with some people. I mean, take Octavia Hill, you see. She would be another of that type, wouldn't she?
Yes. Yes, there's a lovely, I don't know where it comes from. It's not, there's no proper reference, but I was reading Moberly Bell's rather sentimental account of the almoners, which he quotes Octavia Hill as saying something to the effect, apropos of training, it doesn't matter how much you know, and there's a lot of the very important things you should know, but in the end, it's who you are that will matter.
Yeah, so how true.
Yes.
Well,
I think this is something
that sometimes escapes the trainers today, anyway.
Well,
yes.
I finished my sabbatical year and I'd start teaching again, you know, and the course I'm responsible for would start from that standpoint. I mean, I thought it was a very good question.
What actual subject is it? What do you...
Well,
what?
I'll be teaching.
Yes.
I'll be teaching in the first year diploma. I teach, along with a colleague, an introductory course to social work.
Yeah.
And in the second year, I teach a special option on social work with the mentally disordered. But can, apropos of what you were saying just now, do I take it then that, say, during the early 40s, during when they were discussing, early 50s?
Yes, early 50s.
When I and young husband were working to get money from the Carnegie Foundation to get the...
her studies, yes.
Well, to get the Applied Social Studies course.
Yes, going.
You took the, with such a long-standing view which was opposed to specialism, you would be, along with the generic approach people, you welcomed that course.
I did. Yes, I did. Very much so.
What would you say to them?
I welcomed it, but of course I think it's one of the things that kind of went wrong in the Seaborn report. The lack of recognition of the role of the specialist, that's another matter.
Well, I think, yes, she would say, she said something very similar.
Did she? Yeah, well, I would expect her to see that, yes.
But what would you say, if I'd be a devil's advocate for a moment, what would you say to the point that some people think that, say, the sort of criticisms that Barbara Wootton was making of social workers, their apparent belief in their omnipotence and capacity to sort out anything and everything, and the point you were making yourself earlier about their misuse or naive use of psychoanalytic knowledge was largely fostered by the generic movement and encouraged a generation of social workers to think and be like that. That came actually from the generic idea. You remember, I mean, Charlotte Tower was imported from America to help get that course started, wasn't she?
She was, but Charlotte Tower managed to steer a course which didn't land her in a sea of pseudo psychological work. Yes. Charlotte Toll was a realist.
Yes.
And I think that she applied a great deal of common sense to her doctrines.
Yes.
I mean, after all, Charlotte belonged to the Chicago school. Mm-hmm. I would have thought, though I must admit I never studied there, but I would have thought the New York School of Social Work was mm-hmm. far more liable to mm-hmm. criticism on this mm-hmm. score mm-hmm. than ever the Chicago mm-hmm. school was.
Yes.
But you can't expect young people who are training to distinguish these things. Mm-hmm. And there's a fatal fascination yes. about the jargon merchants, you
yes.
know.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair, really. At least I don't think it would have been fair in the early days to say that our belief in the generic approach to training caused us to have mm-hmm. a lot of people who were, mm-hmm. you know, a bit off beam yes. psychologically. I don't think that would be quite fair, mm-hmm. though no doubt there were some individuals who got the bug.
Yes. Yes.
But I don't think that that kind of training as such was a result. On the other hand, I think we must all see, much as we deplored Baroness Wootton's influence and the kind of comments she made, which were quite damaging, really, to social work, I don't think we feel that they are justified, though we have to accept that for some social workers, what she said was eminently true.
Yes.
I think that the most important change during my whole experience in this field has been the change between the assumption by social workers, and indeed by all virtuous citizens, mm-hmm. that they know best, mm-hmm. that they know what is good, that it is proper for them to have a moral judgment about things and to impose that on others. Mm-hmm. The change from that to the non-judgmental, mm-hmm. to the working with the client instead of telling them, mm-hmm. that for me is the important change in this century. Yes. I think it's much more significant than any of these others.
Yes.
Because in those early COS days, one of the things that was so apparent, it wasn't a case of the social workers knows best, it was a case of the good citizen knows best.
Yes.
There is no question about it.
Yes.
If you've been living in sin, then you've been doing wrong, and we'll tell you so, and yes. we will regard you as undeserving.
Yes. Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Yes.
Well, that faded, you see. It faded as training began to take over.
Yes. I've thought of something else. Are you okay for time?
I'm all right, yes. Yes. I think you're the one that's... May I just see if there's anything on in the kitchen?
Yes. Take your mic off.
Yes.
Can I just come back to one of my subsidiary questions, supplementaries? And it's apropos of what you were saying about the generic course. Was there a Ministry of Health view as to whether social work training should follow the model set out by, as represented by the Carnegie course at LSE, rather than the model represented by the Home Office Childcare course and the PSW courses that existed?
Well, I think I have to say that insofar as the department had a view, it would have been my view.
Yes.
There was nobody who would have set up in business as having a basis for judgment between these things.
Yes.
I personally thought, and the department accepted this and yes. very modestly contributed to yes. The financing of the Carnegie course.
Yes. Yes.
But... at that point in time, I don't think anybody, I didn't think it was one's duty to disrupt any other courses that might be going. And they persisted.
Yes.
Well, I suppose that's the answer to your question.
Thank you. Well, can I ask one more supplementary apropos of something you said right at the very beginning when we were talking about your coming into social
work? Oh, yes.
Described your family background. One of the things that has impressed me going around meeting the people I have met is the changes which have been brought about, I suppose, largely by the 1944 Education Act. I suppose the Education Act's before that, but anyway, the social structure of social work, the changing social structure of social work seems to reflect the changing social structure of the country as a whole, as you go through this period. And one can't help but be struck by the, particularly I noticed it when talking to a number of medical social workers, but not only them, I mean PSWs as well, the number of people who seem to come from quite well-to-do backgrounds, and that's very often raised by my younger colleagues and certainly by my students as some kind of
black mark.
Naughty. That's definitely naughty. The thing that has struck me, particularly talking to the medical social workers, that if they hadn't have come from that background, they would never ever have
come at all,
held their own in the hospital. I mean, if people like Helen Rees, if she hadn't, say, been the sister of Tom Rees, a doctor, and also come from a well-to-do background, how ever would she hold up in the hierarchy of a hospital, which was so strongly dominated by doctors who were of that social group themselves? And no one would ever make space for themselves. And I wonder whether you would, whether it's cheeky of me to ask, but whether, coming from your background, whether you would ever have held your own in the Ministry of Health as Chief Welfare Officer if you didn't have all the confidence that your background and education had given you, whether that is a fair comment to make.
Well, it's difficult, really, to be sure about this, because I think if somebody had come up from another social background, but had had the training and had carried out the studies, it's difficult to argue, I think, that they wouldn't have made as good a job, if not a better one, than somebody who came from a middle-class background. The point is that they didn't exist. I think that's the really, that it's one is talking about a situation that didn't exist, because by and large, they hadn't had the opportunity to take these courses and to find their way.
Yes.
But after all, one can think of quite a lot of people now in reasonably senior positions who in fact made the grade without having come from middle-class background, and who do jolly well. And I don't think, well, I don't know about doctors, because they are rotten, but I don't think administrators would have cared a button where you came from.
Yes.
They're only concerned with the quality of what you can give, and they're not interested particularly in your social attributes, etc.
Yes.
Now, that would be my view.
Yes. Thank you very much for letting me ask you that question.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Well, can I ask you my last question? It's a nice question, but people find it a bit of a blockbuster.
Which one?
My last question.
Is it coming now?
Yes.
Oh.
Which is, what, looking back on your career, what do you look back on with greatest pride or satisfaction? What do you look on as your greatest professional achievement?
I look on my 17 years of retirement as the great, lively, contributory period.
Yes,
because Because if you use that period rightly, yes, you are at last freed from any considerations of diplomacy, tact, how it will appear to others, whether it will damage your career, and so on. You're a free person, and you ought to be able to operate like a quite young person who also has the same freedoms, but with the addition of a wealth of experience. So I think that provided you're fit mentally and physically, this for me has been a very interesting period. Yes. And I would like to think that some of the things I've done in this patch have really been constructive and a contribution. That's not to denigrate the efforts made in the other part of my career, but I'm so conscious about the deficiencies, the missed opportunities, and so on, of all that period when the challenges were very great, and I wasn't sufficiently experienced to know how to use them. Yes. Whilst now, in the last 17 years, I can use all my experience and get things done.
Yes.
And I find it very interesting. You see, I've had three decorations. I don't know if you know. Well, the first was for wartime social services, and that was almost, as you might say, everybody who'd done anything had to be rewarded. But it's nice to have it nonetheless. You don't get it if you really made a total hash, but otherwise. CBE when I retired, because of my general contribution to the social service. Well, that I think was all right.
Yes.
I mean, it was quite decent.
Yes.
But later, to be made a dame because of your contribution to voluntary, it seems to me really quite worth having.
Yes.
And so that's how I rate these things. Not that being made a dame is terribly important, though it's nice in a way. But I did think it was good from the point of view of people who work in voluntary services.
Yes.
And that gave me very great pleasure. It still does.
Thank you very much. There you are. Yes. There's a built-in mic on this now. It's recording now. So you were saying about training.
Yes, when we were talking about training, I wish I had remembered to say that I feel this is an area which I could and should have done much more to press its importance in the department.